we've reached Q in our alphabet, and following his huge success on radio and TV with Hitchhikers, Douglas eventually became something of a media personality. He would appear at the drop of a hat on quiz shows, chat shows, and panel games, sometimes to promote his latest book, but on many occasions it was all part of his yearned-for career as a performer. For example, here are typical rounds from quote-unquote and Have I Got News For You?
Now to something completely different. Titles of books, plays, or films, which are all quotations. And this week, all the works involved are by Agatha Christie, who was an inveterate user of quotations. Henry Livings, where did she get the title of her 1941 spy story?
N or M?
N or M?
That, believe it or not, is a quotation.
Oro Carrier, the crossword setter in the Manchester Guardian.
Not
say
him.
That with complete confidence.
Give you a choice. It's from either a 16th century nursery rhyme, from the Catechism in the Book of Common Prayer, it's a World War II code word, or it's from T.S. Eliot's The Wasteland.
Oh, I see. It's the children's book, isn't it? Yes.
It's not offered to Douglas Adams?
It's the Book of Common Prayer. It's when you have to insert somebody's name.
It's from the Catechism in the Book of Common Prayer. Question, what is your name? Answer, N or M. And I believe that that just signifies a male or female name like A or B. Jill Craigie, you might not have thought that this was a quotation again, but it is. Where does the title of the world's longest-running play come from?
The Mousetrap.
Perhaps you didn't know that that was a quotation.
No, I didn't know it was a quotation.
It is. Mousetrap. The Mousetrap.
I'll give you a
choice, either from a 16th century nursery rhyme, from T.S. Eliot's The Wasteland, from Shakespeare's Hamlet, or from Webster's The Duchess of Malfi. Ooh.
Let's say Webster's The Duchess of Malfi.
Not Webster, offer it to others. Douglas Adams leaps in yet again.
it's from Hamlet. It's the play which the player king puts on wherewith to catch the conscience of the king.
Mm, yes, it is indeed.
That's disgraceful. Where does it come?
I can tell you precisely.
It's just before Polonius gets it in the arras.
It's Act 3, Scene 2.
Isn't that shocking? I've seen Hamlet dozens of times.
Claudia says, what do you call the play? Hamlet replies, The Mousetrap. It is a knavish piece of work, but what of that? Douglas Adams, in 1944, Agatha Christie wrote a novel under the name Mary Westmacott, just to fool you, and she called it...
Absent in the Spring.
That is also a quotation.
Absent
in the Spring.
In the Spring. Now, I only know the answers to other people's questions.
Well.
Absent in the Spring... No.
I'll give you a choice.
Yeah.
Either a 16th century nursery rhyme, or what T.S. Eliot's The Wasteland, or Shakespeare's Sonnet 98, or Milton's Lycidas.
Well, I think just on the rules of probability, it's almost got to be the 16th century nursery rhyme by
it's
now.
It's not. offer it to the others.
Lycidas?
It's too neat.
Frank Delaney.
Lycidas?
Not Lycidas. I can't go on offering it. It's from Shakespeare's Sonnet 98, From You Have I Been Absent in the Spring.
So, the unbridled joy that is round two starts here. One tabloid folly per member. Paul, there's a clue here, if you can spot it. Sex therapy for a man who fell in love with the family car.
Is this about them putting up council rates in Swansea?
This is the story of the week. A man who had not much success with women fell in love with the family car, which is an Austin Metro, so you can understand it. Yeah. And he used to take it into the woods and have sexual relationships with this car.
The exhaust pipe, presumably.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, the exhaust pipe, all sorts of... And the back seat, with nobody else being there. Mm. And apparently... I don't know if we're allowed to say... I don't know what sort of details we're allowed to go into.
I'd go for it if I were you.
Yeah. I'll let you know.
But apparently a sex therapist basically has been trying to wean him off the car by encouraging him to masturbate with the car, but at the last moment nipping in a picture of a naked woman in the hope of give him an idea of the direction he should be going. Yeah. But,
terrible if you got your pictures wrong or something. Like you showed a packet of digestive biscuits. Really embarrassing in the supermarket, isn't it? Suddenly get an erection by the hobnobs.
Yes. It is the story of George, his name is, who developed a close erotic relationship with a family Austin Metro. It all started when George began masturbating inside the car. Must have made overtaking rather dangerous. He was...
Missed all... up his windows as well, wasn't he? That was the very word you were trying to avoid.
Yes, exactly. That's precisely what you can't get away with. Yeah. Douglas, what's behind the sweat smell of success?
Apparently there is some part of the year, which I think it must be about now, when men sweat more than at other times of the year, because this is meant to be sexually attractive.
The new number plates come out this time of year as well. So
Yes, well, it is the theory of scientist Dr. David Kelly that male sweat is more attractive to women than aftershaves or body sprays. According to Dr. Kelly, men are naturally at their sexiest this time of year because there's five times the usual amount of pheromones in the pores. It's also because there's five times the usual amount of lager in the bloodstream. So any man who wears the same pair of Y-fronts 70 times in a row must be amazingly attractive to beautiful women. Last, the mystery of Michael Winner and Jenny Seagrave is explained.
Occasionally, Douglas agreed to appear on such programmes without fully realising the implications. One such show was the Tomorrow's World Christmas Quiz. In principle, it sounded like a good idea. It was, after all, a programme normally devoted to scientific and technological advancement. But Douglas found himself on a sofa, seated between fellow guests Diane Duane and Kate Viscardi, competing with the audience to guess the purpose of strange-looking objects. In this example, it was a silver-coated corrugated fan formed into a conical shape about 18 inches in diameter. It was demonstrated in turn by Judith Han, Peter McCann, and Eartha Kitt. Yes, you heard right. Each claiming it to be either a solar oven for campers, a portable radar reflector, or a Christmas tree pine needle catcher. Over to Sybil Rusco.
So, audience, vote please now. Straight away, the needle catcher has the edge. Poor old Peter's radar reflector, no good at all. The needle catcher is ahead with 50% of the audience. How have we done?
Well, we'll find out soon. Panel, what do you think? Do you agree with the audience?
Well, I don't believe any of them, actually. I think this is quite clearly a high-tech bellows for using to sort of stoke up your microwave when it's on the blink. I'm not at all convinced by the solar reflector, because I think it would need to be a parabolic reflector, wouldn't it?
It doesn't have enough curve to focus the sunlight properly. Yeah.
And you'd need an awful lot of sunlight, wouldn't you?
I don't believe the 40 degrees Celsius in 5 minutes, I'm afraid, Judith. Sorry.
What about the needle catcher? I mean, I think this is actually something the world has so much need of. It's such a brilliant idea that I cannot believe somebody's actually invented it.
I think it's the radar reflector.
Mm. Well, I like the radar reflector.
Yeah.
Well, I think it does actually fit, because it's something very, very light, but it does actually have a maximum number of reflective surfaces. I would go for the radar reflector.
Yeah.
OK, let's find out who was right, if anybody. Who was telling the truth?
Well, I was right. Ta-da!
Yes, indeed, it was the pine needle catcher. In later years, when interviewed about presenting the 25th anniversary broadcast of Bronowski's The Ascent of Man, Douglas admitted, "I'm full of admiration for people who make intelligent science available to the intelligent layperson, but I despair of programs that dolly it up with silliness." Perhaps he never got over that Christmas quiz. On to R now.